Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichku today.
Le cara de shundeli brega ba 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 ba. Le cara de shundeli brega do santa la bregatea. Le brega do shundeli brega pa ke taya la braha. Thank you, Father. Just wave those hands to the Lord. Father, we bless you. Thank you for your awesome presence here today. We honor you, for you are God and God alone. We worship you from the depths of our hearts. We thank you for what you started yesterday, and we thank you for what you're already doing today. Thank you for the manifest presence and your manifest glory. Our lives will never remain the same again. We receive of the fullness of your presence. We receive of the fullness of your grace. We receive of the fullness of your light, even this evening. And we are changed and we are metamorphosed, transformed into the same image of your glory that we behold. To you be all the glory. To you be all the honor. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. And let the church say a very big amen. Give the Lord a very mighty, mighty big clap of in a praise. Come on, bless the Lord. 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 Somebody shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Welcome everybody else by your side. Let them know how excited we are that they are in church with you today. Come on, get them to know how excited you are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Who is ready for the word of God today? I want to know who is ready for the word of God today. Wave your hands if you are ready. Let me see you. All right. Psalms chapter 102, verse 3. Psalms chapter 102, verse 3. Did I say verse 3? Verse 13, sorry. Verse 13. I would like you to hold that person by your side. Find just that one neighbor and call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Are you sure? Say, I'm excited you're the one by my side today. Say, we are going to have an exciting time in the Lord. Fellowshipping with the light of the truth of his word. All right. Now, tell your neighbor, this is God's word to us in this moment. Now, read that. I want you to so be loud as you're reading that the ear of your neighbor will tingle. I want you to read loud. Let us read. One, two, go. You will arise and have mercy on Zion.
Ah!
Let me tell you why I'm laughing. Nobody can shout like Mama. Those days we had this choir. As I'm coming, you just hear Mama's voice. Okay, let me stop there. Read it again one more time. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Somebody say, yes, the set time has come. That's what we call Kairos. Somebody say, the set time. Come on, shout it again. Say, the set time. Come on, shout it again. Say, the set time. You know, yesterday I sent out something. As I was praying, the Lord began to move me to write. Sometimes I just get to write. And I started writing and sent a portion of it out to some people I have their contacts. And this is how it goes. I said, everything you've lost, the opportunities missed, the relationships irreparably broken, the years wasted, the pain of every struggle, the frustration of being left behind, the regrets of what could have been. That's the state of quite a lot of people. Things lost, opportunities missed, relationships broken, irreparably broken. They try to fix it, it's not being fixed anymore. There have been betrayals, there have been separations, years wasted. Then you now see the pains of every struggle the person is facing, the frustration of being left behind. Every time the person compares himself with his potentials, compares himself with others that they all started with, is as if the person is left behind. The regrets of what could have been if I had made better choices, if I have done it this way, if I had taken the other route, if I had made better decisions. Then I said the visions of what can be. So we move from the past. Now this person has an opportunity. He's looking at the visions of what can be, the questions of their possibility. The questions of their possibility. Are you sure? Will it happen? Am I so sure? And then the torture of not knowing whether they will be. The torture of not knowing whether they will be. Has my time passed? Did I lose it all? Will I ever leave my dreams? And those are questions that go through the minds of many. Have I missed it? Will I ever leave my dreams? Now, for people who are very young, maybe you're just coming into your 20s. That may not be what's going on in your mind right now. But for those who have lived for quite a while, and they've had opportunities, and while they were in their, you know, late teens, 18, 19, and then they got into their early adulthood, 20, 21, 22, they had dreams that by 28, by 30, this is what would have been happening in their lives. Many said, there is no way I won't be married by 30. They are now 35. They dreamt of how they are going to be young fathers, young mothers, how they will wear and co with their children, how their children will be in the university, and you won't be able to differentiate who is the father, who is the son, who is the mother, who is the daughter. Now they are in their 30s, and it's looking as if life has left them behind. Some who are also very young, who have a keen sense of achievement, and they value early success, maybe had a plan in their lives. I had a plan that before 25 I was going to be a millionaire. And then being a millionaire those years was a millionaire. Now a million doesn't mean anything. Then if you had 2 million, 3 million, you could do so much with them.
You could build. I had a friend then who built a bungalow from beginning to end with tiles and everything for one point something million with tiles, with POP painting, 1.something million. That was how being a millionaire was then, how valuable it was. Then this Agoka where we are now, you see, they sell a plot of land at 40 million now. Then it was 500,000, 400,000, a plot of land. So if you said you had 3 million, you were really a millionaire. You could have a land and you could build a house for yourself with 3 million in a very good place. And there are people who have that kind of, they are goal driven. They have a sense of being trailblazers. They have this persuasion of being pathfinders. They want to break records. They want to be record breakers. They want to be the youngest to achieve this, the youngest to achieve that. And there are people like that. And maybe now they are getting to that 25, that 26, and it's as if their dreams are slipping away. And the worst is the feeling of being left behind. The feeling of seeing everybody else, or some other people, a few other people, living the life you dreamt about many years ago. And you're watching it. They are living the life you wanted to live. You're not envying them. You're grateful for them. But a feeling of being left behind, as if you were left behind. That's the first assignment that the Lord has given to me today. I want every one of you to listen. Because by the Spirit of the Lord, we are going to solve serious problems here today. Did I hear a believing amen? Amen. Are you really here? Yes. So this is what I wrote by the Spirit of the Lord. I said, God is the God of infinite chances and graces. Everybody say that with me. Whatever is keeping your voice low, be loosed now. One more time. One more time. You know what that means? God is merciful, and his mercy knows no end. His mercies are new every morning. In case a man feels like he exhausted God's mercy for the day, there is a new one for next day. Mercies are new every day. Every day. His mercies. It means God is infinitely compassionate. Infinitely compassionate. He's loving, he's kind, he's patient. It means that the mercies of God endures forever. It's not just new every morning. It endures forever. As long as God is, and God is everlasting and eternal, His mercy remains steadfast, never fails. His loving kindness never fails, never fails, never fails. God is the God of infinite graces. He is the God of all grace, and He gives more grace. So whatever the need be, whatever the situation be, whatever the issue be, God has more than required grace to attend to that need, to solve that problem. He has. And He gives more grace. And the Bible tells us the character of this God. He says He is the giving God who gives generously. Means He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above. He gives generously, without reproaching and without fault finding. He will not look at you and remember where you failed, where you were stubborn, where you missed the mark, where you didn't get it right. No. God is. So in John chapter 5 from verse 1 to 9 we saw the story of this man that was infirmed, afflicted with an infirmity for 38 years. For 38 years. We were not told his year, how old the man was. But one thing we are certain, he has suffered from this infirmity for 38 years. And I want you to watch. Jesus shows up. I want you to pay attention, because I'm not going back to the message of yesterday. I just wanted to point out one thing, and once I'm through with it, we'll move to the next one. So watch me. Jesus shows up. This is the manifestation of the grace of God. The law was given through Moses. Moses was the mediator of the law. But grace and truth came. This is grace in person, came. This is the grace of God. This is the mercy of God standing before a man. So we have to see how the mercy of God functions. And the Bible said Jesus looked at him and saw that he had been there in that condition for a long time. A suffering of long continuance. Stagnation of long continuance. Retrogression of long continuance. Whatever negativity of long continuance. He had been in that place for a long time, in that condition. A very long time. And then he asked the man a question. Do you want to be made well? Do you want a change? Do you want your healing? Do you want your restoration? Do you want your shift? Do you want your lifting? Do you want your promotion? Do you want your prosperity? What do you want? Do you want? I want you to watch the mercy of the Lord. This man had been in that situation for so long. And the only thing he knew, was all there was. That at certain times, we were not told how often. But at certain times, an angel of the Lord will come down and stir the waters. And whoever is the first to enter will be healed. He had tried over and over again, like we taught yesterday, and the opportunity and the opened window of opportunity, that Kairos, that day of visitation, he kept missing it. Repeatedly, he missed his day of, others jumped in, he didn't jump in. Someone always will get there first, whenever he tried, no matter how long. That means some people came after he had been there, got healed, left. Other people came after he had been there, got healed, left. Do you know the torment? Do you know the torture? Of being in a place where you now have to look up to someone that once looked up to you. Somebody say, God forbid. I will never be a farmer. Never. It will never be added in my life. Used to be. Never. The path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines to what? The perfect dawn. Until we see Jesus, you and I will keep shining brighter and brighter. My light will never dim. Never. I'll keep shining brighter and brighter. Even in old age, I'll be fresh and flourishing. Even in old age, I'll be fresh and flourishing. I'll be having fresh visions, flourishing in that vision. I'll be living a very impactful life. In my mind, there is no provision for retirement. But look at mercy. This is what the Lord wants. You get this. You've gotten this message. You've gotten the first part of this message. Jesus stands before him and he says, hey, I have no man. He starts complaining. I have no man to put me into the pool while the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another seizes the opportunity and gets in there. I don't have any man. I could just imagine. That's how I read the Bible. I let the Spirit of the Lord paint pictures. I could just imagine Jesus was just saying, shut. Ask again, do you want to be made well? Come on, rise up and take your bed and walk. Mercy, gifting a man what he doesn't deserve. This was different from, because we could preach about the blind Bartimaeus, whose faith was reaching. And while Jesus was passing by, he was crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And while people were saying, hey, shut up, he was shouting louder. And Jesus said, what do you want? He said, I want to see. We could preach about the faith of that person. We could preach about the faith of the woman with the issue of blood that pressed through the crowd, even though she knew that if she was caught as one flowing, and as a Jew pressing through the crowd, she would have been stoned to death. She risked her life and she said within her heart, if only I were touched the hem of his garment. He doesn't need to talk to me. He doesn't need to pray for me. He doesn't need to wave his hand. He doesn't even have to know. All I just want. We could preach about the faith. But what about when the person is tired of believing? What about when the person has believed and believed to the point that believing hurts? Because it's like believing again is giving himself another opportunity to be disappointed again. And so he finds a way, this subconscious cave where he or she lives in, finds a bubble, makes a world for himself where it's not as if he's no longer loving the Lord or trusting the Lord. But for these areas of my life, I don't want to believe again. Tired of unanswered prayers. Tired of waiting for too long. I'm tired of waiting. Tired. This particular one had no faith. All he had was complaints. But mercy, mercy discriminates no one. Mercy will speak even when faith is flat. Mercy will speak even when you're most undeserving for it. Mercy will speak. Mercy will speak. Mercy will speak. And so Jesus knew that the only way this man is going to have the faith to be healed is that he himself has to speak. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in the instruction, rise, the first miracle was the infusion of faith in his heart. The faith he didn't have. The faith he didn't have. All he had was complaints. All he had was frustration. All he had was excuses. Rise! The first thing that rose within him before his feet received strength was his faith. But it came because mercy spoke. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to through me, who he gave me this message for. But the Lord said I should tell you, mercy is speaking for you today. The mercy of the Lord is speaking for you today. What's your responsibility? Do not frustrate the mercy of God. Have you seen or have you been in a position or seen a situation like this where someone who needs help, you're actually genuinely trying to help the person? The person doesn't deserve it. The person has never earned it. The Lord moved your heart. And in your benevolence, because of the compassion of Christ working in your heart, you decide to extend the hand to help the person. And the person begins to suspect your help because it's too good to be true. And the person will still not come out of their of his or her dysfunctionality and begins to frustrate your help. Have you tried to help someone that frustrated you before? Yes, I have. Meet me by this time. Let me see what I can do for you. And the person doesn't show up. Go and make this research. Get back to me in exactly 1 week. Let me see how I can fix it for you. And the person doesn't. So there are people that have so been in a place that even when mercy reaches out his hands, they feel still disqualified. While this message is going on, mercy is speaking. The time to favor you has come. But there are people that are still thinking of me. I still have a girlfriend I'm sleeping with. That still have a boyfriend I'm sleeping with. That is still doing exactly the opposite of everything God has told me to do. Me. That is still struggling to pray for 10 minutes in the morning. Me. Has pastor preached about how I have to meditate? Till now, God has not given me. And because of the reality and the intensity of the reality of their shortcomings, they are now frustrating the mercy of the Lord. And God is standing and is saying, listen, I don't want to hear any of your excuses. You've not been able to help yourself. That's why you need me. You've not been able to lift yourself. You've not been able to perfect yourself. That's why my mercy. That's why I'm coming with mercy. I'm not telling you you're getting a reward. I'm telling you this is because of mercy. I will now arise and have mercy on you. Somebody shout mercy. Come on, shout mercy. Shout aloud. Lift your hands and shout mercy. Oh Lord God of mercy. Mercy. Where you're not qualified, mercy. Where you're undeserving, mercy. Where you're weak, mercy. Where you can't help yourself, mercy. Mercy. I will arise and have mercy. The question is, will we receive mercy? We will receive mercy. This man got into faith. The Bible said when he heard it, the strength of God was infused into his heart and his body, and the man actually stood up himself, took his bed, which is faith, the response to what God has said. So he didn't just sit down there and start complaining the second time. He took the window of opportunity, that prophetic opening that was orchestrated by the voice of Jesus Christ. And he immediately jumped at it, just like Peter. We toiled all night and caught nothing, but at thy word, I won't change my mind. I won't hesitate. I'm casting the net. I'm launching into the deep. He responded immediately. When mercy speak, I pray that your heart be strengthened to respond immediately. In this kingdom, hesitation means unbelief. Immediately. So whoever you are, that's why it's mercy. Wherever you're from, that's why it's mercy. Whatever you may have done, that's why it's mercy. Doesn't matter who's been for you or against you, that's why it's mercy. Doesn't matter how much mistakes you've made and where you've fallen short of the standard, that's why it's mercy. Can you receive mercy when you read Psalm 102 verse 13 again? Can you possess it for yourself and believe in your heart that God's word is truth, that it is time to be favored, my set time to be favored? I want you to stand on your feet. If you're the person I'm talking to, raise your right hand before the Lord and shout it with the audacity of faith. Yes, it's my time to be favored. My set time to be favored is now. My set time for quantum leaps is now. My set time for promotion is now. In the name of Jesus, this is my Kairos season. I believe it. I declare it. It's Saddle's Edge.
mercy, even the mercy of the Lord, has sealed it.
Maybe there were people that got it. My prayer is that everybody got it, but I can't force it down your spirit. Maybe there are people that got it because they've been fasting, they've been praying, and they've been in expectation. And now the prophetic word is jamming with their expectation. Kai. Kai. Ligelu shandaya. Ligrene munde sandalinga. Leru zengra di sopa. Renun lanun zendelira di scopa hata. Legri tu zendelimbra non de kaya. Le aragadea. Li emprunde incraduze bre. Ru shindelingre de copa. Le indelino conde incredes. La ye. It's my set time. This is my Kairos season, orchestrated by the word of the Lord, established by the prophetic, that which has proceeded, that which proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. I have my word. I have my prophecy. It's my set time. It has come. It is now. Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Have your seat in God's presence. Now, let's move to the next thing we have to do today. I want to give us the 7 fundamental truths about times and seasons. Because when we talk about Kairos, we are talking about times and seasons. And that's why we are saying new season, new dimension. Everybody say new season, new dimensions. Not new seasons, still where I used to be. So a change of season brings a change of levels. A change of season brings a change of levels. Now, the first fundamental truth, I want us to write this down. God is a God of times and seasons because He created them. God is a God of times and seasons because He created them. You see, times and seasons are firmly set and marked by God. Firmly. He set them in order. They run as a system. As a system. Set them in order by the word of His mouth. So He upholds them. Sets them in order. They don't fail. They don't fail by the word of His mouth. The scripture says He upholds all things by the word of His power. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. That's the first thing I want us to note. Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. Let's get there fast, please. I want you to read with me and I want you to read out loud. Come on, let's engage. One to go. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for what? Signs and what? Seasons. And for days. I'm about to show you a revelation. Somebody say, let there be lights. You know, God created a lesser light to rule the night. And created a greater light to rule what? The day. Now, all truths I have told you are parallel. All truth. When you look at the manifestations of the works of God in creation, you can actually see the revelations of the works of God in the spirit. So, God created lights and let them be for signs. Someone say, let them be for signs. Now watch this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The entrance of your word gives what? Light. So God also has light of his prophetic word. The same way he created lights in the natural, he gives lights in the spiritual. And when the word of God comes for a man, and your spirit receives it, and there is an entrance into your spirit, those lights is what determines times and seasons for you. When I get closer to teaching us the difference between Chronos and Kairos, you will understand it better. These lights are for the kind of time in the Greek the scripture calls Chronos, which is time as a measurable resource. Time as a measurable resource. It is the sequential measurement of the passage of time. The sequential measurement. So it's chronological in its characteristics. It's chronological. That means time and the way you describe time in how, in the quantity of how it's passing. Seconds, chronos. Minutes, chronos. Hour, you're describing the quantity of time. That means 60 minutes has passed. So the sequential. So today is Thursday. I already know yesterday was what? Wednesday. Today is 6th of March. I already know yesterday was what? 5th. So it's sequential. It's chronological. It's quantitative in character. So you will see the psalmist writing in Psalms chapter 90 verse 14. He says, teach me to number my days. That's a chronos. Let me know so that I will apply my heart to wisdom. My heart can gain understanding. So I won't waste my life, because my life on earth is the time I'm giving. Wasting time is wasting life. So he says, these lights are for signs and seasons. To mark seasons. To show times. So when the light and the sun rises, we call it day. When the sun sets and the moon begins to reflect, we call it night. And with that, we can count how many full moons, how many this, how many that. It's for days and for years. So you can talk about chronos as decades, as century. It means you're still treating time as a quantity, a quantity, a measurable resource. That's time. But Kairos is different. Kairos is how many chronos do we have in the year 2025? How many? Is this a leap year? So this is not a leap year. So how many days? Talk to me. So we have 365 days. So when I talk about chronos, 365 days in 2025 is measurable. I already know. So January 2025 is past. I'm through with Chronos of January 2025. It has passed. What I used it to do matters. February passed. It can't be recovered again. 2025 passed. It can't be recovered again. It's gone. Now look at what what Kairos is. I woke up in the morning in January and I began to pray. Lord, I believe you for this. Lord, I believe you for this year. Lord, I'm trusting you for this. Your word says, I stand on your word. I decree it. I release my faith. And then the Lord said, I've heard you, son. Now take this step. And then I start taking those steps. I'm using my Chronos to do it. I start planting those seeds, taking those action. And then somewhere around March, in between the first week and the second week, it is determined in the spirit that all the prayers I prayed, all the word I declared in faith and sowed, all the obedience I sowed by taking action with what God told me to do, all the seeds I've sown, the giving I gave, that all of them will come to maturity called due season. And that something will happen within those 2 weeks that will give me a harvest of 6 years in 2 weeks. It's called the fullness of time. That space in within those 2 weeks is what we call Kairos. It's called an opportune time. An opportune time. A window of opportunity opens up. So it's not time as a measurable resource. It's time described and characterized based on quality. What is happening within that time? It's also called, you see, opportune time. Somebody say opportune time. Come on, let me hear you shout it loud. Say opportune time. So it's also called appointed time. Appointed time. Appointed time. For example, this Jesus, the Son of God, became flesh. But as he became flesh, he tabernacled in the womb of a woman and was giving birth to us man. So though fully the Son of God, he was also fully the Son of Man. God in physical flesh of man. And the Bible said that this person became subject to his parents. Let's look at Luke chapter 2 verse 52. Get there first. Even before I get to that 52, can you go to the verse before it? Yes. Everybody hold your neighbor. Read that scripture to your neighbor. One to go. He went down to with them to where? And was subject to? But his mother kept all these things. That means he was subject, he was submissive. Submitted to their training. God being trained by his own creation. Kai. You'll be so powerful with great ministry, great call on your life, and God will place you under a man that doesn't have a tenth of what he has ordained for you. Testing your heart, will you submit? Many of us were taught by lecturers we are richer than now. Many of us were taught by teachers that for them to be anything in their life now, we are going to show appreciation by gifting them things. And yet, in that moment, we were there, subjected to be trained. If we felt we were too powerful and more powerful, and we were not subjected, we would have gotten ourselves into trouble. So see what was happening within that period of time. Within that period of time, in the chronos of Jesus, from the day of his birth, after his birth and all the things that happened, the wise men that brought gifts, and he's escaping to with his parents to Egypt, and then being brought back when Herod died, the only thing that was spoken about, that was said about him, was at the age of 12 when he went to the temple. After that, from 12, that's what happened. From that 12, after the parents came and said, what is it now? We've been looking for you. You didn't even tell us. He said, don't you know I'll be about my father's business? And the father said, you are right, son, but now nothing else until your natural brain matures. Because as much as you're powerful and you have the same glory and you are me, but you are now in a human body, this human body has to mature. Nothing else was heard of him. This God, his God. The Bible says he was brought into a season from 12 until he was 30, 18 years. 18 years. In that chronos, look at verse 53, everybody. Read and read out loud. One to go. Verse 52. Come on, you should have known. Yes, we'll read and read out loud. And in what? And then a day came. As he kept growing, somebody say, in the chronos of his life. 1 year, chronos. 2 years, chronos. 3 years, chronos. 20 years, chronos. 25 years. Within that chronos, at the age of 30, a window was opened. And then he walks down. Pam, pam, pam. John the Baptist said, this is the one I've been talking about. Hey, so is you. You're even related to me. Wow! He said, I came to be baptized. He said, for what? I'm not worthy to untie your sandals. He said, no, it has to be done that all righteousness might be fulfilled. This is what has been written. It has to be done. And when he entered the water and came out, you heard, this is my beloved heels. This time is no longer son as breakfast. No son, no longer infant. No son as technon. I gave birth to him. No. This is son as mature. This is my mature son in whom I am well pleased. At this moment, your ministry starts. That thing you saw there is called opportunity. If he got there, and John said, let's baptize you. And he looked at John. Me? I created you. That's the end. If he got there, but he's God and he's perfect, he wouldn't have done that. His response to the will of the Father in that moment opened it up. And what was triggered? Something that already had been written. It has been written already in Psalms chapter 2 verse 7. Get there. Fast. Hold your neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read it to that neighbor who wants to go. I need you to read out loud. I'm not hearing you. Want to go? To that word today is what is called set. You have now come in the midst of your chronos. There is a kairos, an opening, an appointed time. It was appointed this day. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So see what came with it. Once there is a change of season, kairos is for changes of seasons. Once there is a new season, there is new level. Once there is new season, there is new level. If you remain in the same level in a new season, you'll miss your kairos. If you end up in the same level, look at this one now. The moment the Bible declared and God, the Father declared, this is my heels. Somebody say heels. Mature son, in whom I was. The moment it was, it's called adoption, appointment, a declaration. This one now has the maturity to handle authority. See what next happened. Look at verse 8. 1, 2, go. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for you. So you give breakthroughs. You give miracle jobs. You give healings. You give miracle money to children. Heals is nations. When I hear your testimonies, I know where your level is. You give ice cream. You give carrots, fruit purees. Also sometimes give them some pizza. They are children. You give them some snacks. Then you give them the vegetables. You give them the different things to children. You don't buy a car. You don't buy a Mercedes S-Class. And look at your 8-year-old son. And give it to your son. The key to your son. And say, go and drive. The visions of God you receive is proportionate to your level of maturity in the spirit. God only relays to you what your maturity can handle. God relays to us what our maturity can handle. There are some territories you're asking to take. Some promises you're asking to possess. And God knows that that thing, that level, deals with certain levels of demons. Then he looks at the person, looks at him and say, can I trust you? I'll come back to Psalms chapter 2. Give me Jeremiah 12 verse 5. Let me show you something. Kaya taya. Ningaraba. With horses. I gave you small level of things. Small level. That's why I've been warning all these guys that they come to church. All these ladies, all these my sons. You are listening to me. Every day I'll be crying. Some of them, they get into political appointments. Some of them, they get different openings. Companies rise. And they were nothing when they came. They prayed. They submitted to God. They kept, pastor will prophesy. We will speak. And now they got it. When they got it, they started misbehaving. God can no longer trust them. What I tell them is, that's the last level you will see. The only way they can rise is that they have to deny their faith and make a deal with the devil. But God can never promote them. Once God promotes you to a level and you start misbehaving, that's the place you end. You won't see another one. No good father keeps giving his child what kills him. Jesus says, what does it profit a man that he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? The same Jesus cannot bless you with worldly things to the point it destroys your soul. I tell them, be careful. Be careful. If you have run with footmen, the level where you are dealing with smaller demons. Demons are not taking note of you. Forces that be have not taken note of you. And that level is wearing you. How then can you handle horsemen? The ones that move with chariots. He said, if in the land of peace, in which you trusted, it wearied you. You were wearied. He said, then what will you do in the floodplain of Jordan? It means when Jordan overflows. What is going to happen? So you see, you are allowed to handle certain levels when the other level didn't weary you. When you've learned, the Bible said, he that overcomes, I will give. Every level is opened up by overcoming at a lower level. Say, I hear. Come on, say, I hear. Wave your hands if you're here. Pray in the spirit. You're getting it. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Laninkaya. Lindaradash. Lingrede sotoya. Limbrano shandaya. Librade karadunzaka. Limbranana ninko tenzanga. Lirado sanda libragataya. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So go back to Psalms 2, verse 8. Say, I will decree the decree of the Lord. You are my son, my beloved son. Today I have begotten you. That's what the Lord, the Father, said to him. So if you notice there, the Lord said to me, the me there is also in capital letter. That means the voice of the excellent glory, the voice of the Father speaking to Jesus, the Lord too. So that's the Father and the Son having a transaction. You are my son, my heels. Today I have begotten you. Look at the consequence. Everybody say, new season. Say, new levels. Say, new dimensions. How many of you are ready for new dimensions? Say, in this Kairos season. Say, I move. Upward and forward. New dimensions. You believe it, shout your loudest. Amen. If it's not your loudest, keep it to yourself. Shout your loudest. Amen. What's the next thing? Everybody read. One to go. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possessions. How many of you think that the man that is giving nations will be praying for a miracle job? What did I teach you? The lesser. In the what? When your level changes, what is your prayer point now will become what you're giving to answer other people's prayer points. A man who is giving the ends of the earth is asking God for a car. Can you imagine? Lord, I'm believing you for a car. It's included in it. Levels change. God, there is an unction for me to prophesy. I lift my hands in the presence of God and I prophesy to someone, every resource of grace to get you into the maturity of the Spirit, for your levels to change this year, is released to you and yours now in abundance. Somebody under the sound of my voice, you are now being shifted from mundane things, from things that the heathen seek, into the feast of the abundance of sons, the feast of nations and of the ends of the earth, of territories, in the name of Jesus. Your visions have been upgraded. Your values and your passions been upgraded in the name of Jesus. You know, I was once a student in Unity, and my prayer was, Father, give me the school. I wasn't asking where my transportation was coming from. I wasn't asking where my food. It was, give me the school. I have some here who were my schoolmates. Pastor Koma was with me. We were not in the same class, but the same level from pre-science. And they were close to me. Pastor Berry was in my same class. Mama saw me in school. These people saw me. This is not a joke. God delivered UNISIC into my hands. The reason why many more UNISIC students will keep coming to LAM is because it was a gift given years ago. I don't have to wear jeans and sneakers. I don't have to appear to appeal to young people. What you collect in the spirit, you don't sustain in the flesh. If I open my mouth, young people will gather. It was given. Because somebody at the age of 18 was crying. If you know the thousands upon thousands, upon thousands, if we start counting, there will be over 30,000 students that have passed through me. Over. Thousands giving their lives to Christ. Thousands established. There is no part of the world I go to, there is nobody greeting me in the airport, anywhere. Sir, I was there. Many, many years ago, before I started flying, I was in a bus, or we hired them a Sienna. You know, a Sienna was taking me to Abuja. Pastor Andrew, my PA, was with me, and all just two of us in the Sienna. And somewhere out around Lokoja, just before you get to Lokoja town, after Ajiokuta, all those places, yes, the Sienna developed a fault. And they tried and tried. So I had to call our pastor in Abuja. I said, I'm coming. And they now got a car trying to start coming to see me or to carry me. Why? I was just in there praying, just enjoying the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit told me, says, just stand up and stand by the side of the road. And I just stood by the side of the road. Just a few minutes after, I didn't know why he just said. All I just saw a Mercedes. Phew! Stopped. He ran out. Pastor David. He said, what? He said, ah, I know you. I said, how are you? What's your name? He said, I'm an evangelist, this person. He said, ah, I came to do my PhD in UNISIC, Oka, and I attend your church, you know, while I was there. I said, oh, I didn't know you. Oh, sorry. God bless you. He said, what? Before I knew, he said, ah, we are entering. He begged. We entered. We got, he's now told Pastor Chima, stop at that eatery. I'm taking him there. So he made the journey. He took us immediately. He said, you can't be on the road. And while we're there, he said, no, I'm not even taking you to the eatery. I'm taking you to my house. Where we are, he said he stays with his brother. And they had this nice place. So I came there. He said, ah, I came in. He wants to do this. I prayed over the house. And then when they said they were now at the eatery, he took me again. With different things, with seeds and everything following. Because one 18-year-old was not praying for anything else but give me this school. What are you asking for? The Bible says your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. He says, seek the kingdom. What's your prayer content? What wakes you up at night? Me, what was waking me up is give me the school. Give me the school. I spent 5 years, 1 year pre-science, 4 years undergraduate study in school, my BSc. And by 5 years, by record, with the choir that God helped us to orchestrate, that choir grew to over 500 membership strength. Over 500 membership. And we had over on records, the ones for the programs we planned and the people we followed up, over 1,500 people who gave their life to Christ that we followed up. That we followed up on record, the least 1,000. What's your prayer point? And that's what the devil does. He distracts people with mundane things. And the content of all their prayer becomes their needs. Stop asking for your needs. God says, I am your shepherd. You will suffer no need. God says, your heavenly Father knows that you have them. He will take care of you. Look at, he takes care of the sparrows. What has been the missing link? This. Some even said, Pastor, my passion is to make money to give to Jesus. I've never heard anybody who said that continue to give him money. I've been a pastor for over 20 years. I've never seen anybody who said so that gave God anything. The ones that end up giving to God are the ones passionate about souls, affectionate about the growth of God's church. That's the only ones that give. Those ones that are like that, sometimes, and many times it's because they are going through a lot. They've gone through and gone through, and the Holy Spirit, it will just tell them, go and give something. Just, I need a seed so I can help you before you die here. Out of that, they will not carry seed. And if they ever gave that little thing, most of them always want to tell pastor, I just paid my tithe. That's how you know those who don't give. Every time they give is an event. They want everybody to congratulate them. They want the pastor to know. In fact, they send the receipt of their giving to pastor and say, speak a word over it. That's how you know those who don't give. Now, that doesn't mean that if the Lord moves your heart, because there are certain strategic seed faith, and there are certain altars, maybe on your birthday, or your birthday of your children, or certain, those are altars, the covenants you've come into with God by revelation, and you want your pastor to speak over it, is the right thing to do. That, I'm not speaking about that. I'm just talking about those who always just want to show that they gave something now. Wave your hands if you're here. So see what this person is now doing. Ask me of the nations. Now the next thing he receives. Verse 9. Everybody, look at it. Verse 9. Read. Want to go. You shall break them. With what? You shall dash them to what? Like. What does it mean? You will have authority and dominion over them. New levels. How many of you are ready? Are you ready for new dimensions of authority and dominion? New dimensions of authority and dominion. Are you ready? If you're ready, shout, I'm ready. Give God praise everywhere. Have your seat in God's presence. So if you can remember the number one I told you to write, what is it? Huh? Because, and I said, times and seasons are firmly set and marked by God. He set them in order by the word of his mouth. Let's look at Psalm 104 verse 19. I'll read to verse 24. Psalm 104 verse 19. And I'll read. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows is going down. That's God. He appointed. He set them, marked them in a system. I pray you gain understanding. Lift your hand. Say, I gain understanding. You know what I mean? You can predict your own season and predict the season something will happen in your life. Yes. Just follow. We are going to do this thing and let's see how fast we can be. You make darkness, verse 20, and it is night. And what happens? For whatever season he appoints, what will happen there? For every season, there is a purpose and there are activities that must happen within that, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, season changes. So these lights are for signs to mark out seasons, days and nights and years, sorry. So when the sun rises, it means a season has changed. So it may be night season somewhere around you. It may be night season somewhere around your family. But when the prophetic word comes and this sure word of prophecy, you make good to take heed of it. You meditate on it until the day star rises. Once the day star rises, the season will change. Once the sun rises, seasons change. Once the word comes, seasons change. Kai. Oh, did we pray in tongues today? Did we pray in tongues? That's why I put it. Because I'm delving now into certain areas. I'm not giving you milk. Hey, what's happening here? Hey, the struggle. Hey, I don't even know what the issue is. Oh God, I've tried my best. Oh, somebody said dark. Say it's night. When you're trained the way we are trained, you don't agitate. You just start saying, La Roche Shakataya. Libra de Shakataya. Father, in the name of Jesus, that you grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of you, that in the heart, my heart be filled with the knowledge of your will concerning this situation. There is already a way out. Every darkness is helpless before light. And this light shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot stop it. It can't overcome it. Lord, as I listen to your word, as I meditate on your word, as I search the scriptures, Lord, as I pray in tongues, whenever, however you choose, I receive the word for this. And you're expectant. Expectation instructs manifestation. Expectation is what determines your manifestation. So when you start expecting a word, you receive a word. Put down your phone and stop looking for who to call. Light has to shine. That's a night season. You call this person, he makes a promise, he disappoints you. You call another person, he says he will fix it, he disappoints you again. You're calling men who fail. What is that? Close the door. Remove your wigs. That's not the time to look for something to cover your hair. You will have some business to deal with. Shut down. Get into your secret place. Nobody has to know. And become a lion. Le karatasha. Le brandekara. The stretch must move. This church must move. This business must grow. This project must expand. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive this from you. And your blessing says, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Nothing you've blessed is stagnant. It can't be stagnant. My life can't be stagnant. In the name of Jesus, Ayata, there must be a way out. Speak, Lord. And the Bible said, incline your ears. He has something to say. And when that word comes, somebody say, Rema! It may come even through the prophetic that someone else will speak, thus says the Lord. It may come, but your spirit will bear witness. Faith and peace will arise in your heart. You will know God is the one speaking. Once you get that word from the scriptures, not that somebody call a phone number, that's signs. There are real signs, and God can gift someone to call a phone number, but there are many people that are doing arrangee. So when God knows that people can search through the internet and get some information, he won't have to use that. It's too cheap for signs. God won't use signs that people can negate through logic. When God moves, the Bible say he does wonders without numbers. That means when he walks, there is no explanation. The evidence will be irrefutable. Nobody will explain it away. This is God. Somebody under the sound of my voice, this match, God is giving you the evidence of his glory. The evidence of his favor. The evidence of his finishing grace. The crowning achievement grace. The establishment grace. Such that cannot be refuted by any logic or argument. Such that cannot be refuted. Somebody hearing what I'm saying? Say with me and shout it loud. When the sun rises, say seasons change. When the sun rises, get me back to 21. The young lion roars in the night after their prey and seek their food from God. And that's how the devil roars like a lion. Seeking whom to? Did he try to devour Job? Did he take permission from God? So you understand the scripture now. Did I teach you yesterday about demonic Kairos? The windows is given. Like the man of sin, the man of lawlessness. There is an appointed time he's given to run riot on earth before the destruction of everything else. It's an appointed time. No prayer intercessor can stop it. This is not the time. So now, with our intercessions, we restrain him. But when that time comes, it is appointed. You go to the book of Revelations, you go to Daniel, you go to, and you see all these things. You see that this person is given a time to run riot. Yes, Lord. So cockroaches like night. Devil likes darkness. So what is darkness in the realm of the spirit? Ignorance. Ignorance. Absence of the knowledge of God. Rejection of the knowledge of God. That's what darkness is. And that's what the devil likes. Doesn't mind Christians going for a concert. And that's why I'm going to be having a retreat with all our music ministers. Because when you look at the activities of the spirit in a ministry, one of the core factors is the quality of worship, even through music that goes on there. You see all this is deadening a lot of believers. I'm the one telling you, I'm a Christian. And we allow a lot because We don't mind becoming anything so we can reach everybody to Christ. Are you hearing me? And so some people who have not understood the inner courts, the holiest of holies of praise, that is the only thing, the one they can just dance and be shouting. The words are good. The Bible said that all the priests sang in Chronicles was, "The Lord, you are good, and your mercies endure." And the glory of God filled everywhere. But in the midst of the carnality of the excitement of the flesh, some don't even know what it means. So we're not touch each other two by two. Oh yeah. You know, all you get is excitement. That's all. That's all. How many people have danced like that until they were caught up in the spirit? Check it. Try to praise God alone in your room, and you will notice that the quality of praise in churches have been diluted. And the devil is the one doing it. A lot of music ministers that have no communion with the Holy Spirit in participating. A lot of them without a prayer life. A lot of them that are not worshipers. If you bring them into spontaneous worship, they will struggle. There will be no flow. And so they have to adopt means. You see, when the gold in the temple is stolen, people create brass. It looks like gold. It's an alloy that shines like gold. But GL is not gold. The devil doesn't mind picnics. He doesn't mind one activity after another. In church, what he can't stand are two major things: a place of intense, genuine worship and prayers, and the moments of the word. He can't stand those two things, because that's where light, and once light shines, he's helpless. He can't operate anymore. He only operates. So let me explain so that you understand times and seasons. Whatever the vows is only permitted to the vow in night seasons. There is a season, a time allotted to it. You gain understanding. Now look at verse 22. I will stop here. Let's finish up the scripture and I'll stop here. Stand on your feet. If you're getting blessed and you're gaining understanding, wave your hand and say, "I'm getting blessed." All right. Hold that neighbor and read verse 22 and shout it so loud the ear tingles. One, two, go. What gathers together all the things that devour, all the creeping things that crept out in the night, once the sun rises, all of them enter their den. Stop fighting devil and start shining light. Somebody got it now. Go and release light into your family. Declare 90 days of prosperity. What is that? Stop binding everybody that is holding our prosperity. Stop that nonsense. Stop that nonsense. Do we bind? Yes, we do. Do we declare and break the hand of the enemy? Yes. But when you are in light, you will only cast the devil out with a word. You only bind by authority. When you see a man spending 10 hours trying to deal with the devil, is proof positive he's not yet armed with light. armed with light, spend time fellowshipping with light, that when they come out, sometimes they don't even have to speak. Demons see them and start crying out. That's the dimension. I said, that's a dimension. Not to talk of the one who is a Christian that is coming out looking for who will deliver him from witches that are pressing him in the night. The witches press Christians in the night. Yes, but they are perishing because they are in the dark. God brought them into light. They said, when the sun rises, lift your hand. May the sun of righteousness rise upon your life. Rise and keep shining big within your heart. Rise upon all that concerns you, even with healing in his wings, in the name of Jesus. Every area you've been infirmed, every area you've been paralyzed, be healed now, in the name of Jesus. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Look at verse 23. Shout loud. 1, 2, go. Ma. Aha. When did God allot men to walk? I didn't say anything. Man goes out to his walk. So Jesus said, I have to walk now that it is day. Now, we are speaking in the prophetic. That means God didn't plan you will start waking up at the evening of your life. God proposed, his plan and purpose is that by the rising of the sun, your vision will rise. Stop waiting until it is late before you start walking. He said, for the night comes when no one will walk. Stop missing seasons that God apportioned for something. When the season has now passed, that's when you now want to start being serious. Out to his walk and to his labor until the evening. Verse 24. Read this and read out loud. Want to go? Oh Lord, how manifold are your works in wisdom. What is God's plan and purpose? Walk while it is. Then the Lord gives his beloved. Did you get that? The devil will never give you work. How many of you are gaining wisdom? Are you gaining wisdom? Are you gaining wisdom? I'm still in number one. No? Number one. But it's heavy number one. We will get it done. I have to hand over this truth to you. Somebody somewhere, lift your hands and begin to pray in the spirit. Radically. Pray with fire. 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 Leketo shakata. This is our Kairos season. 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 Lebrande sunda. Redne lebrande ketosh. Lembrande kalungs and dayata. Le Karadesh Kapaha. Everything that stole time away from us, everything that laid waste the days of people's life, the mornings of people's life, is destroyed today, is dislodged today, is uprooted today, in the name of Jesus Christ. La Dekata, Le Prendekata, Le Radoshaka. Lebra de kata, likre de kata, legala barika, rumbari de kesh, lebra de shanda, lebra de kara de, legara de. You will not waste your youthfulness. You will serve the Lord in the days of your youth. You will not waste the days of your strength. You will serve the Lord in the days of your strength. Hallelujah. Reposha. Lendere kataya ladish. Yes, Lord. 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 Lebradeka. Eparadesh. Lebrendekaya. Lebrendekaya. Lebradesa. Lebradekata. Rebradekata. Lebragadaya. Rebredeshakata. Lebredekaradesh. Lebrandekaya. Lebradesa. Lebradekaya. Rebalagade. Lebrandezundalaba. Lebradekarata. Lebredekata. Lebradekaya. Lebradekaya. Rebayakata. La dekata. Lebrandekaya. Lift your hands and worship Him. Just give Him thanks. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Look at me. The conclusion of this number one and the revelation shared today is this. Understand that you didn't create times and seasons. God did. So the first revelation you have to know is understand God's structure for times and seasons. As far as the earth remained, winter and summer will not cease. So when it is summer, do what God proposed for summer. There is time for what? Everything. And a purpose for every season. Under heaven. Every season and every time, God assigns a purpose to it. So if God brings the day, don't waste the day. Walk. In the night, rest. Once you understand the systems that run times and seasons and you adjust to it, you begin to enjoy the blessings of it. Whatever the enemy had done to lay waste your day and to make you waste opportunities that God is bringing your way is terminated today. You will never again sleep in harvest. I say you will never again sleep in harvest. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody put a praise on it.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 806-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.